Your weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a Bucks legend. This is Here District with Marcus Johnson, alongside his son and 1995 NCAA champion, Chris. Here's MJ.
All right, welcome everybody here, District, the Fantastic Voyage. Marcus Johnson, Chris Johnson, my son, the only father and son combination in the history of college basketball, Cameron Thomas, to win a national championship at the same school, UCLA, 20 years apart. And, man, I'm just really, really happy to have this young man join us today for a few minutes. The newest Buck edition, Certified Buckets. Cam Thomas, man. Cam Thomas, welcome to the Here District, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
So now, the urban legend has it that when Doc Rivers told you to introduce yourself, yeah. How did you introduce yourself to the team? You tell me. I want to hear it out of your mouth.
So, you know, he said, you know, stand up, introduce yourself. So, you know, I just kept it short and sweet. I said, I'm Cam Thomas. I mean, y'all know my game by now. I get buckets, so I'm here. So that's it.
And what was the reaction? The guys laughed. They just kind of like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, both.
Both.
Yeah. That's good stuff. And so, and I was talking to one of the coaches. He was telling me, and they're trying to come up with a nickname. And I don't know, man. If you got nicknames that you prefer, let me know. But he was talking about, you know, certified buckets was kind of going to roll with certified. So that's what I'm going to roll with, certified, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Now your middle name, Boucher.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
Now, do you know what that translates to into English?
Nah.
You have any idea?
Nah, butcher. Nah, really?
The butcher. That's another one I'm playing with. When you start carving up defenses like filet mignon and carving them up, I may throw out that butcher, the boucher, because it's so apropos, man. But let's talk about you and your background. And. And I know your mom, Leslie, was instrumental in just your basketball development. It kind of reminds me of Bobby Portis. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Bobby at all about his situation growing up in Arkansas and the role that his mom played. And his grandfather, too. He had some strong role models, but his mom was really, really big in his life. And your mom played that same role. Just talk about her, Leslie, and her role in terms of you developing as a basketball player.
Yeah, man, it was very, very instrumental. Like you said, just being there, you know, reading up on stuff, looking stuff up to how to make me a better basketball player, different drills to do, just different, you know, just being involved, really. I think it was really, you know, helpful for me to become the player I am today and got me to where I am today. So very thankful for that. Very thankful for the sacrifices she did and really was just, you know, she was really just doing everything, you know, getting my rebounds, telling me different drills to do, you know, how many shots to make from a certain spot. So it was just really fun. I really enjoyed those times.
A lot of one-on-one or no between you and her?
No, none of that.
A lot of one-on-one?
No.
So she didn't try and lock you up when you're like 8, 9, 10 years old. She wouldn't try to lock you up.
Never.
Make it tough on you.
Never.
You said never. You said never from the angle like she couldn't handle you or
yeah,
she just
yeah,
wasn't
never,
into
no.
it.
Not at all. 8, 9, don't matter. Not at all.
Yeah, from somebody 8, 9, she wasn't adequately equipped to deal with what you had.
Yeah, no,
okay,
overweight,
it was over. That's early, bro. Chris, how old were you when you first beat me? What, it was a little later in life, right?
I didn't beat him till I was 19, Cam. I was in college already. This dude wasn't letting me win nothing.
For real.
You know, beating up on me in the front. Oh, man, I lost like 1,000 straight to that dude before I finally got lucky. I caught him on a bad day. I think he had on some jeans. I think he was wearing jeans that day we played or something. But,
you got one. That's all you need.
He got that one, man. And so now, I'm reading about one of the most interesting things to me about your high school journey is that you played as a freshman, mm-hmm. and then you sat out your 10th grade year. You sat out the whole 10th grade year. Now, the way I read it was that there were some philosophical differences maybe with the coaching staff before you transferred to Oak Hill. But what happened that sophomore year? I mean, what was your routine like? How were you able to keep it sharp so that when you went to Oak Hill, you just kind of hit the ground running?
Yeah, man, it was, you know, basically like you said, just different sets of stuff. And then I really was just in the gym heavy until AAU came around. I played AAU that summer with Boo Williams. So, you know, that's what helped me, you know. So I was just really essentially just getting ready for that, training for that, just getting ready for that. So then when AAU came around, I was ready to go. And then, you know, talked to Oak Hill, you know, in the summer. And then, you know, they wanted me and I was interested, you know, got all that situated. And I was at Oak Hill the following year. So, you know, it was really, that was really a good, you know, experience for me just being on the circuit, really enjoyed playing on EYBL. So I think that's what really helped me become, you know, the player I am today, because I was playing up. Yeah, I was playing up to the 17th. So I think that's what really helped me mature my game and really be a mature basketball player.
Cam, when you were, you know, working out, getting shots up around this age, what sort of like shooting benchmarks would you set for yourself? Like how many jumpers would you knock down in a day during your individual practices? Or did you have a number? Or what did that look like for you in terms of your development, the skills you were working on?
Yeah, really about essentially probably at least 1,000 makes. I think 1,000 makes, you know, so that's really, it's pretty like a good number for me during that time. Because, you know, you're not really playing much, so you just got to try to get as much game reps as possible. So full speed, you know, whatever it is. So I was just trying to get as much makes as possible. You know, my mom being in that as well, just, you know, helping and having, you know, a good support group as well, trainers helping me as well. But my mom was really the key and all that, just helping me and really, you know, driving me everywhere to, you know, do what I need to do to get ready. So it was really, really a good experience for me for sure.
Yeah. And you come from an area in Virginia, Chesapeake, Virginia, near that Hampton area. But there's a lot of great athletes, Allen Iverson, Michael Vick. I mean, I was down there for the Boo Williams a couple of years ago with my daughter Shiloh. And that's a great tournament, man. First of all, you see this C right here? This is Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Crenshaw High School? I'm just curious. What does Crenshaw High School mean to you? Does it mean anything to you? Have you heard about Crenshaw? Does it have a place in your mindset at all in terms of what the school represents?
No, I don't know nothing about that.
You know nothing about Crenshaw High School? Never heard of Crenshaw High School in LA?
I'm straight VA. I'm straight VA. I don't know nothing.
So Cam, Crenshaw was kind of like Newport News. The Newport News.
Yeah, the good. Okay.
Yeah, just to give you an idea.
Okay. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. So Daryl Strawberry in baseball. I mean, it's just been a lot of NBA players. Myself, big guys before your time, but Kevin Ollie, who coached at UConn, Crenshaw.
I know KO.
Yeah. So these are all Crenshaw. You know, we got like 16 city championships, 8 state titles, and our coaches won Willie West 800 games or whatever. So I was just curious as if it matriculated the reputation to Virginia. But let's talk about you. All right, Boo Williams, give me some background on Boo. I met Boo Williams at that tournament, and man, Chris, he's got this sparkling Sterling facility down there in Virginia. Is it in Hampton? Maybe in Hampton.
Yeah,
I'm not
Hampton.
Sure exactly where.
Hampton,
in Hampton.
Yeah.
But talk about Boo Williams and who he is and what he meant to you in terms of providing a showcase for you to display your talents.
Yeah, man. Just really, you know, the pioneer of AAU basketball, really. You know, he was, you know, at the forefront of it. So, you know, just being young, going to his facility, playing those tournaments, you know, that's what the highlight was in Virginia on the weekends. You're going to Boo Williams and playing and all the tournaments. So that was like our highlight as young kids. And then when I was able to, you know, be older and actually play on his team, you know, and have him coach me. So that was really fun. Really, really enjoyed Boo. He's a good guy, funny guy. Really enjoyed my time on there playing with him for 2 years on the circuit. So I really.
So you actually played for Boo Williams. He actually coached you.
Yeah. I actually played for Boo. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So then as you go from there that summer, Boo Williams, AAU on the circuit, EYBL, I think it was Ryan Rollins that said you gave him about 40 or something. Do you remember giving Ryan Rollins?
What? Do you remember
giving Ryan Rollins like a 40 piece at some point? Do you remember Ryan Rollins from back in those days from Detroit, the Michigan area?
I definitely remember the team he was on, and I definitely had 40 that game because it was a EYBL game, morning game. We played them, and I went crazy that game. So
You were crazy that game. I mean, you're in these 40s are so, you know, these 40s are just so
easy.
You know, just satisfying too, man. But you go from there, you go to Oak Hill. And I want to, because you played with Cole Anthony, right, in Oak Hill.
Yeah.
But give me a little background for people that don't know. What's the Oak Hill routine like during the course of the day? And the atmosphere, where is it located? I envision it being off in the mountains somewhere in the middle of nowhere. But tell me about Oak Hill and that experience for you.
Yeah, man. Oak Hill was, you know, again, you know, like very instrumental for me developing, playing against, you know, the best of the best, the other teams, and even in practice. But yeah, Oak Hill is in a, they call it the Mouth of Woods of Virginia, middle of nowhere. So you got nowhere to go but school and hoop. So I really enjoyed that as well. Yep. So playing with the best, you know, best players, best talent in the country. I went my junior year, so I was, you know, 17. Yep. And we had seniors like Cole, Kofi, you know, just, you know, the, yeah, you know, players from the 2019 class. So that was really, you know, huge for me to be out there, you know, playing with them, showcasing myself, because they were top players at the time in their, you know, respective class. So that was really helped me showcase myself and really make a name for myself. So, I mean, Oak Hill was great, man. Playing for Steve Smith, love him very much. He's great, you know, great coach. I really enjoyed my time there. So it was great.
Now, how was it going against Cole Anthony? It seems like Cole from New York City guy. Here you are, kind of this new guy coming in from Virginia. Did he test you a little bit early on? Were you guys kind of going at it early on? What was that like the first two times you guys locked horns?
We definitely was going at it. I mean, nobody really knew me for real. I mean, I played on a circuit. I was, you know, had a little name ranked, but whatever. But going there, it really showcased, like, I'm really, like, really good and really, like, here to play and here to contribute. So we played the first few times, you know, 5-on-5, whatever. And I was dominating, really, like, every practice. Like, I was dominating. So that's what really helped me stand out. You know, I stood out from everybody, and that's what really, like, helped us connect as well, because, you know, he was doing his thing playing, and he knew I was going to do my thing playing, just be there for him. You know, we're going to be there for each other. So I think that was a really good time for us.
Cam, it sounds like you had the mentality kind of instilled in you early. You dominate and catch, you know, you always going hard. You still play that same way today in the league. When I saw you in college, you're one of the most impressive dudes because of your motor, your relentless nature of just attacking folks, you know, every rhyme and every which way. My question to you, who instilled that mentality in you, that dog, or were you born with it?
I think my mom really instilled it. And obviously some of the trainers and coaches I had, you know, just being close with them, they instilled it as well. And I probably say just, you know, loving Kobe, watching Kobe, you know, he had that mindset to go, 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 go. So I think that's what really, you know, really helped me develop that mindset. But I think my mom and some of my trainers really brought it out in me. So I think I kind of saw it from Kobe, just keep going, keep going, keep playing. But my mom and your trainers really brought it out in me. So I think that's where I got it from.
Now, and listen, I heard another story. You tell me true or false. I'd like to expand on it if it's true. Kobe World. You had Kobe World set up in the crib.
Oh, yeah. My whole room was Kobe. Kobe and Lakers. Kobe. I was Kobe. I'm Kobe.
Kobe bed sheets. Kobe posters. Kobe bed.
Everything. I love it. You know,
pictures and everything on the wall. I was Kobe. Like, you can't tell me nothing. I'm Kobe.
Oh my God! Why so much Kobe? Why were you so into? What about his game that just resonated with you as a young person?
Everything, man. Just how skilled he was, you know, and the type of shots he was shooting and making. Like, you know, as a kid, like, trying to learn the game, you trying to look for what's exciting. You're looking for a favorite player to love, so you looking for what's exciting. And you like, I was like, dang, like, I really love his game. So I really like honed in. Once I got older, understanding the game, understanding what kind of player I want to be, really watched him heavy, locked in on it, and try to take everything from his game down, post moves, mannerisms. Like, I was trying to do everything like Kobe. So he was really like a big, big inspiration for me to play basketball and get to where I am today and try to play like him and be like him as much as I can. So it was really, he was really like a big inspiration for me, for sure.
Yeah, and I see it in your footwork.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just see that Kobe, I mean, and Chris is one of the biggest you know, biggest Kobe admirers in terms. He's always sending me clips. Yeah, look at his footwork, Kobe did. Yeah, this is like, you know, Kobe has been gone for a few years. I hadn't played in a number of years, but we still, and we're still studying some of the jab steps, some of the pivot, step through. Yeah. I mean, this and I see it in your game. But now you also talk about James Harden, the Houston James, as being a big influence. Yeah. Now, what aspects of his game? The ISO stuff, what are some of the things that you kind of borrowed from the bag of James Harden?
Yeah, really, just like you said, the 1-on-1 ISO game with the ball in my hand. When he was in Houston, he was killing. So my mom was like, "Yo, my mom even like told me when I was at Oak Hill, he was like James is amazing." So I really like started watching. I was like, "How is he? You know, scoring 40, 50 every night? You know, that's, you know, the league. You know, he making it look easy." I'm like, then I really watched the game of him actually just, you know, ISOing, getting whatever he wanted, making the right play. So I really took the ISO, the 1-on-1 ISO ball handling, all that from James, really. So he was definitely instrumental for me developing my like 1-on-1 bag off the dribble, you know, getting downhill, finding guys. So he really was instrumental for me in that piece. So definitely played with James. You know, I got to know him a little bit, love him. So, you know, all up to James for sure.
Funny story with James. So he was a 17-year-old freshman at Arizona State. I'm doing games for the Pac-10. On Fox Sports Cam. And so James and I went to the same junior high school, same middle school, Audubon. Chris went there briefly himself. I would always go up to James and say, "You know, you're the second greatest player that ever went to Audubon Junior High School." And he'd be like, "Who's the first?" I'm like, "Me, dude." But then when I saw him after a couple of, you know, great years in the NBA, lead the league in assists and all that stuff, I went up to him and said, "Well, I think you passed me, brother. I think you might be you might be number one out of Audubon Middle School." So go ahead, Chris.
Kyrie Irving, Cam. What did you learn from Kai? You know, what part of his game did you sort of implement it into your bag, your package?
Not much really. I think me and Kai relationship is more so like big brother, little brother. Obviously by that time, you know, he had his, you know, he definitely has his game and I have mine. But obviously you try to take little things like, you know, Where to pull up, how to pull up, how to get your shot off in the league, you know, different pace, you know, just being a rookie, trying to like figure out how he's doing it. And then, you know, it was an easy learning curve for me, quick learning curve, you know, you just got to figure it out. And I think to me, the best way to learn is playing. So when I had the opportunity to play, when he was out and doing, you know, doing all that stuff, going through what he was going through, I think that's what really helped me really figure out how to play in the league, how to, you know, how to get my shot off, where to get my shot, like where the shot's going to come from. So I think that's what really helped me. But, you know, I think our relationship is more so big brother, little brother. You know, I love him to death. You know, every time we see each other, it's always love. So, you know, I love him very much. That's my guy.
Yeah. As a follow-up on that, you had a crazy streak, 3 straight 40 pieces back in February of 2023. What, I'm not going to say what got into you, because I, you know, we know how the league works and opportunity. When opportunity presents itself, you know, someone will take care of it. But that was truly a phenomenal performance. What were you on? Like, what was in your mind during that 3-game stretch where it was just 40 plus every single day?
Yeah. So the first game, it was crazy because, you know, we was playing Washington, morning shoot around, and Kai wasn't there. So we was like, all right, he might be doing something with the family. He'll come later and whatever. So he wasn't there. So, you know, we get to the game time, you know, pregame, whatever. He's still not there. We're like, well, what's going on? So, you know, put a lineup and everything. So everybody's like, we got more opportunity and more stuff. So we're just going to go out there and hoop. Like, we're just going out there and hoop. And then, you know, we get the plan. You know, they get up on us big. So it's like, dang. And then a few more people went out because I guess they were playing, got hurt, whatever. So it was like, we was like 7-8 deep. So we were just playing, man. And I'm just hooping. I couldn't miss. I was, you know, going. Couldn't miss. I was on fire. So I think I had 44 that game off the bench. We won and came back and won. And then the next game we played the Clippers, and you know, they told me I was starting whatever, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, playing the Clippers, playing against Kawhi and all them. I was like, you know, playing against Kawhi and all them, Paul George, you get a little hyped up because you know you see him all the time. You're like, oh, I'm playing against some Kawhi and Paul George. So you're like, all right, bet. So then I go out there, not missing as well. I'm killing. I go hit 47. And then the next game we play against D-Book, you know. I love D-Book. Yep. I love his game. I love watching him. So, you know, whenever you have that matchup, for sure, you try to raise your level. And, you know, I had a lot of points that game too. So, yeah.
Yes, sir.
3 straight 40-point games. That's something else. But now go back to your rookie year, back with Brooklyn. And were you ever, was there ever a feeling of just being just in awe, over, not overwhelmed, maybe it's a stretch, but just, I mean, Kyrie, James Harden, KD, I mean, just going into that very first practice or whatever, I mean, your mindset, I mean, you had to be like, man, don't, if I'm dreaming, don't wake me up. This has got to be like one of the greatest experiences. What was it like for a young 19, 20-year-old young man out of LSU, a rookie, to be around those level, that level of talent at one time?
Yeah, man, it was great. Just getting to know them, learning how they do stuff, and just really, at the end of the day, you know, watching them. I mean, you know, not really playing much your first few games, so you're just watching them, see what they do and stuff. It was amazing, man. Especially with, you know, KD and James, because Kyle wasn't playing at that time. It was early, you know, I think all the, you know, vaccine stuff, so he wasn't playing at the time. So it was really just, you know, KD and James. So really just be able to watch KD do what he do, you know. Again, it's my brother. Love him. Love him to death. We still talk to this day. Whenever I have a question or whatever, I can text him. He'll return the text and, you know, always give me his honest input. So, I mean, that's really what you really do this for, you know, building real brotherhood, real friendship with guys. So I really enjoy that. But, yeah, man, first practice, I was like, hey, he tall. He is that tall. So I was like, hey, he tall. So that was it, really. Yeah. I was like, "Hey, he tall," but then you know we get out of there and hooping, and then he saw I could hoop, and he just gravitated towards me, took me on his wing, and you know the rest is history.
You know, quick KD story before you jump in, Chris. But so the first time I saw him, Cam Oak Hill came out to play Compton Centennial High School. So everybody came out to see Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson was this guard that went to North Carolina. Everybody wanted to see Ty Lawson. That's all we heard about how great Ty Lawson is. So we all out there in the gym watching. Waiting for Ty Lawson. And then this long-armed, high-waisted 6'7", 6'8", guy just really caught my Scottie Pippen kind of a game at that time. But he really caught my attention. And I went up to him after the game, like, man, what's your name, man? You're a junior? Okay, yeah, okay. You're going to be nice. Saw him again that next year as a senior, and he had grown about 2 or 3 inches, man, and he just kind of turned it out. But, you know, you talk about, you know, the reasons that you play, the brotherhood that you develop. It's also just great for an old school guy like myself just to see you young players just emerge and embrace the greatness that's out there in front of you. And think about it, Cam, and you've touched on it, and talk about this for a second. I mean, people don't understand. You don't fall out of bed being able to score 3 40-point games in a row in the NBA at a young age. I mean, talk about the amount of work and attention to detail that you put into your craft to get to where you are today.
Yeah, man, that's really the number one. Just being like involved with your craft and actually just being in love with it. That's probably, you know, cliche term, but you just gotta love it. Like, you gotta love the game, love to put in the work. You gotta set goals for yourself. That's what really helps me. I set goals for myself. So I try to achieve those as much as I can. But yeah, man, I think it's pretty cliche, but it's true. You got to love the game. You got to love the work. So I think that's what really helped me, just trying to strive for greatness, trying to strive to be the best that I can be every game, try to overcome what I did last game. You know, you may have 41 game, but, you know, it's the NBA. You might have a game the very next day or the next day, and, you know, nobody's going to remember that. So you just try to, you know, stay locked in and try to improve on each performance. So that's what really helps me.
How you keep your mentals together in Brooklyn? You know, you were a starter. You did what you did. You were coming off the bench, kind of fluctuating with your role. How do you sustain the mental fortitude necessary to be ready to play every single night, regardless of what the coach might ask of you that night?
Yeah, it was really just, you know, staying true to yourself, always being ready, being professional. I mean, obviously it's tough, you know, role changing every chance there is. You know, you never know. You're kind of like in the unknown. So obviously it's tough. But at the end of the day, you just try to be as much a professional as you can. Just always prepare like you're going to play, start, whatever. That's what really helped me when I was in Brooklyn, just always preparing like I was going to play. So whenever, you know, I did get called on, even if I was like not expecting to get called on, I was ready. So every time they called on me, I was ready. So I think that's what really helped me, just preparing like a professional.
Yeah, was Jacques Vaughn there? Jacques Vaughn and Kevin Ollie, were they there when you were there? Early
part
of
your career,
or no?
Did they
impressions of them in terms of how they maybe work with you, talk with you, spoke with you, anything about them that you could remember that helped you as a young player?
Yeah, Jacques was cool, man. Jacques was cool, great guy. you know, it was fun just being there. He saw me when I get drafted. He saw me being young, just growing up. So it was cool. And then, you know, KO, Kevin Ollie, man, I love KO. We got him in my third year. He was there my third year, and he was great, man. Okay. You know, he had a chance to be the interim to finish out the year. And, you know, that was like my one of my best stretches as a pro when he was, you know, the head coach. So I really enjoyed KO, really love him. You know, he was great, man. Great. Love KO.
Yeah. And talk about 6 degrees of basketball separation, Chris Camp. So Sam Presti, the president of the Oklahoma City Thunder, he kept Kevin Ollie, Cam, on staff, kind of way past his prime, just so he could be a good influence on Kevin Durant, on James Harden, on a young Russell Westbrook. So that's the kind of guy that KO is. Crenshaw, baby. That's how we do it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
all right. Hey. You know, that's what we do. You know, we inspire. We inspire. Hey, we uplift. We motivate, man.
I love it.
We don't hate. We don't hate. We appreciate.
I love it. No, yeah, man, KO was great, man. Love him. Love him very much.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, okay, Brooklyn, whatever, struggling. How did you wind up a Milwaukee Buck? Let's get to this current status. What was it about the Bucks that had, because you had your choice. I mean, were there other, you don't have to name teams specifically, but how many other teams were you looking at, and how were the Bucks able to stand out in that process?
It was all that time, you know, looking for a team. The Bucks were always in contact. You know, they always wanted me. You know, even when I got here and met everybody, you know, they told me, it was like, we've been trying to, you know, get you here for years. So that was, you know, it really felt good. You know, when you choose somewhere and they're like, yo, we've been wanting you, like, we want you. So that was a great thing. And, you know, I was like, well, good. It was a good amount of teams interested, but I think the Bucks stood out because I really felt like I could really be myself here. Everybody would embrace me. And I think everything's been going good so far. So I would love to keep building on it and keep, you know, and just keep, you know, stacking wins.
I'm curious about your relationship with Giannis. Now, Giannis has been out, obviously, and so, you know, we don't know what it's going to look like when he does come back and you guys play together. But we saw his reaction to your game winner in Orlando. You know, he got hyped. He was all over that. He's been sort of this guy on the sidelines that seems to enjoy watching you guys get after it. What's your relationship with Giannis, and how's the energy in that locker room now since you've joined the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah, man, Giannis is great, man. I'm down to earth, great guy, always supporting. So, you know, he's great. I think we have a good relationship so far. Obviously, I'm still getting to know everybody, still getting to know him. So, you know, it could obviously be better, you know. But as of right now, from everything's been great and good. So I love everybody. Everybody's been great. Everybody's been good to me. So I have no problems. And, yeah, man, and just the team, the vibes, I think everything's been good, man. We've been playing great ball. You know, obviously we dropped one, you know, yesterday. Obviously, you know, we want to have that back. But at the end of the day, it's the NBA. We got another game coming up tomorrow. So, I mean, we're ready to get out there and ready to get back on the winning track. So I think the vibe's been amazing. So I love it here. I love it in the locker room. Everybody's been great. So I love it.
Hey, Cap, you talked about the goals that you said. What's been your goal? What do you have a specific goal in mind since you've joined the Milwaukee Bucks in terms of, you know, we're something to shoot for, something to target in terms of what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, getting into the playoffs. I haven't been to the playoffs since my second year. And I haven't really contributed in the playoffs as much. I played one or two games. But this year, I would love to, you know, get in the playoffs, get in there, contribute, play a whole series. That's really my goal, just experiencing playoff basketball for sure.
Yeah, and now I got to mention this because, you know, we keep it real here. And this is me and Chris had this discussion, I think, the last show we did, talking about you. And one of the things that people talk about, well, defensively, you know, is he going to fit in defensively? And my thing was like, look. A couple of things. When you can get the kind of certified buckets that you get, you know, the defense is cool, but the main thing is the main thing. It's a bucket. But I also say this, playing for Brooklyn, playing for a team that's struggling, playing for a team that's going nowhere. I mean, the motivation to really play hard defensively is just, it's different than on a team that's trying to go someplace. So just your response to that, I mean, in terms of where defense kind of fits in your mind in terms of your ability to play it at a high level.
Yeah, man, I'm definitely with you on that. But, you know, in the NBA, I like to say defense is a team thing. It's not really much individual defense in the league because you always want to have help. You got to have help. You know, the court's so open, so much spacing. you know, and guys are good, man. Guys are going to beat you off the dribble. Like guys are going to, you know, do their thing. So So defense to me in the league is a team thing. It's about having a good scheme, good team communication, and then, you know, just playing within the team scheme. So, I mean, I think the defense is a little overrated, you know, when people talk about it, because it's not really individual defense at the end of the day. Right. You know, you're like on the ball, but then, you know, it's guys in help, you know, stabbing at you, you know, faking like they're going, maybe not double teaming. So I think the defensive talk is a little overrated, but I think if you have a good scheme, you know, like we do here, and then everything just fits in. I think I've been doing a great job so far and want to keep building on it.
Yeah. No, you're fine. Trust me, bro. You're fine. your defense is more. You keep getting buckets like you get 18-point quarters and all this 34-point games and all that. Your offense, your offense is your defense. Trust me. You're okay.
You're
fine.
Hey, you're right. But
the final point about your game specifically, and I told Chris this, we talked about it, the way you're able to get your shot off, man, in a small compartment. That's the thing that I always like about players. In a minimum amount of dribbles, you may take 4 or 5 dribbles the most, you know, tween, cross, step, whatever, but your ability, Cam, to get that shot up off over bigger players. I don't know if I've ever seen you get your shot blocked by a bigger player. Where does that come from? How did that develop? I mean, what's your mindset when you're trying to take advantage of those kinds of matchups?
Yeah, I always try to find an open space on the floor, you know, and I always say, you know, the first one get to your spot, low men always win. So I always try to get to my spot. And then, you know, like you said, nobody really blocks my shot because I get so much elevation on it. And most guys don't really work on blocking my shot because they don't want to, you know, come up under me, get a foul and one, whatever. So at the end of the day, I think once I get to my spot and once I raise up, then I think, you know, it's just me in the basket at that point. So really just trying to get to my spot. That's the main thing. Get into the open spot and rising up.
And you just touched on this. I got to ask you this. It really piques my interest. You talk about the elevation, your legs. How much work do you put on leg strength and to be able to? Is it natural? A lot of it just natural, or is it just you just put so much work in over the years that you're able to get that bounce and that spring coming out of that crouch offensively?
Yeah, I think it's natural for me. But I think the year I took off from basketball, I was really trying to dunk really. So I was really working on my legs a lot. I was trying to dunk. So I think that's what really helped me as well. But I think at the end of the day, it's just natural. Just being able to, you know, have that scores mentality and put the ball in the basket. So at the end of the day, I always had that mindset. Like, you know, you may take one thing away, but you're not going to take everything away. I'm still going to get my shot off no matter what, whether you contest it or not, you know, play good defense. Like, I'm going to try to get my shot off. So I just try to find different ways to do it, whether it's changing the shot angle or whatever, you know, changing the footwork, whatever. So I was just like playing with different ways, trying to get my shot off. So I think that's what really helped me, just being creative.
Yeah. Well, you are, man. You're one of the most creative scorers we got in the league right now. And, you know, we're just so tickled pink to have you as a part of the Milwaukee. I mean, between you and Usman Zhang, to have two guys to come into this organization the way you did, I mean, that's just, you know, it didn't happen like that. Guys at that level of talent, especially a guy like you that averaged over 21, 22 points a game the last couple of years, man. So welcome to Milwaukee, man. Keep getting those certified buckets, man. And, you know, we're going to be just really, really rooting for you to achieve every goal that you want to achieve, especially that playoff goal. That's a good goal to have, man. We thank you for spending some time with us at the Here District.
Hey, man, thank you so much for having me, man. I'm definitely happy to be here. Love being a Buck. I love everything about it, you know, playing against it. You know, I was like, man, the atmosphere is great in the arena. So definitely love being a part of that, and just want to keep winning, man. So thank y'all for having me.
And Google Crenshaw. Google Crenshaw High School, the great
Crenshaw. Okay, that's cool.
All right.
That's
cool. Google Crenshaw, all right?
Okay,
all right, man. Have a good one, man. We appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Cam Thomas, thank you for coming by here, District.